Salt woke to twilight and tentatively made her way from the hospital bed to the wide window, tinted with an aqua color that washed the panorama high above the city of Atlanta with a softer, cleaner light, a vastly different perspective than from the streets of the homes. She touched the crease in her scalp, which in her reflected face seemed to continue down over her forehead, eye, and cheek, effects of the anesthesia still lingering. Grady Hospital, called the Gradys by some old Atlantans, plural from a time when the hospital was divided by segregation, was all too familiar. She frequented the trauma center to interview victims and witnesses, and sometimes for wounded colleagues. It never seemed to change. The muffled sounds, soft-soled shoes on linoleum, the muted opening and closing of the doors, and the sick smells underneath disinfectant. But her first time here, she had come to see her father. He was restrained with bandages that tied him to the bed, and she'd overheard someone say it was so he wouldn't throw furniture. "He's a jumper," she remembered someone saying, and she thought they were wrong because she'd never seen her father jump or even run anywhere. He was a walker. She had worn her Sunday dress. Her mother told her, "Smile and tell him you made an A on the math test." "But I," Salt had said, "put on your best face. Do you want him to worry?" Her mother pushed her into the room. The room had been too warm, too close, as this room was now. Arms spread, she pressed her body and the stitched wound against the cool glass. "You look like an angel." She jumped, startled, then realized there had been a knock, but she thought it was part of the memory.
"I didn't mean to scare you. Shouldn't you be in bed?"
At first, Salt didn't recognize the chief, the big guy himself, his uniform blending into the darkening room. Only his shiny brass badge and insignia caught the light. He was a huge man with terracotta skin and gray eyes. Her father's face began to recede, though she held on.
"Where were you?"
her mother had asked. Her father moaned in the bedroom, his voice heard from anywhere in the house.
"Stay here with him," shouted her mother.
Salt had given a little push to the door of her parents' bedroom and stood looking through the barely cracked door. Her father was lying on the floor, and when he lifted his head to look up at her, there was sticky blood on his face. She shook her unbandaged head to get out of the memory, then quickly realized that her backside might be exposed through the loosely tied hospital gown and tried to sidestep her way back to the bed.
"I think I'm still a little confused. The drugs, maybe. No one told me you were coming."
"I always make my way here ASAP when my officers are injured. How's your head feel?"
"They said it's superficial. A mild concussion."
The chief walked to her side at the bed and put his hand out.
"Good that it's not so bad. Bad enough," he said,
shaking her hand, the movement jarring her eyesight.
"If there's anything you need, tell Major Townsend." "At the window, what were you looking at?"
"Just looking. The city is really different from up here. You know, a kinder, gentler city," she said.
When he smiled, it was like the grin of the Cheshire Cat, all teeth gleaming through the dimness. Closer now, his eyes looked tired. Salt felt groggy from the anesthesia, trying to work out if the chief was part of the memory or the here and now.
"It's the whole picture, not just one perspective, that makes it really beautiful. You did what you had to do on the expressway. I hear about your everyday work, Officer Alt," said the chief. "I hope you know the regard your fellow officers have for you."
He turned, walked over to the window, and stood looking out.
After what seemed like a long silence, Salt said, "Chief."
It was his turn to snap back to the moment.
"Some days, it's hard to tell the forest for the trees," he said.
She thought of the trees in her dream. "Yes, sir," she said, and fumbled for the light switch, pinned to the hospital pillow.